By popular demand, you're going to hear more about what should be in your toolbox in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report for August 11th. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Last week we learned about what you should have in your ham radio toolbox. The guy who should know is Ken Bailey, K1FUG, ARRL Emergency Preparedness Assistant and Continuing Education Program Administrator. By request, we'll hear from Ken once again in a second excerpt from his 2018 Dayton Hamvention Talk.
No matter where you are, the weather in your locale is going to be different than other locations around the country. Hurricanes along the East Coast and the Gulf Coast areas, you're not going to find too many hurricanes in the Rocky Mountain areas. Your training is going to be specialized, so you're going to prepare differently. It could be for natural disasters, tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, earthquakes. Not too many earthquakes in Florida, but you do get some occasionally along the East Coast. Does that mean you should never prepare for earthquakes, say, in the New England area? We do get them from time to time. They're very minor, but they do rattle, shake your home, knock things off the shelves. It's a little scary. Fortunately, they're minor. We haven't had a big one in a long time. But we should be thinking about that when we're training. Man-made disasters, dam failures, if you live near a dam, forest fires in the west, mountainous areas, a lot of forest. Lost or missing persons. A lot of groups will train for search and rescue. Do they need radio communications? Absolutely. We'll learn to prepare for that by working with the groups like CERT that do a lot of that work. In my younger days, driving around, we would have a lot of motor vehicle accidents back in the two-meter repeater days when they first started back in the early 70s. I'm kind of dating myself, but we used to report them all the time. That's where having a radio in a car or a handheld was very valuable. People ask me all the time, what do you recommend for equipment? I try to stay away from specifics. Best thing you can do is talk with your peers back in your Aries groups. I would suggest that whatever they recommend, try it out if you can. If you're going to make a purchase, get the best that you can based on your finances and also on what recommendations you get. When you do make a purchase, learn how it works. Go through it. Learn to program your handheld, especially if that's what your purchase is going to be. And then take it and put it on the air. Many opportunities there, especially with walkathons, marathons, parades, a lot more of those public service programs than there are disasters. But when you do your training locally with your public service groups, you'll be much better prepared. Put together a little go kit, if you want to call it that. Many terms for it. It doesn't have to be very much. Some vendors even put it together with a basic package. You don't have to do that. Shows like a camera bag here. That's what I started off with, through a handheld in there, some extra batteries. And that's what you can do. It doesn't have to be very sophisticated. You don't have to spend a lot of money. But having a little kit that you can just throw in your car to always be available for you is preparation. Always remember to stick in a copy of your license. Very important. Not only because it fulfills the needs of the FCC, but if you're ever stopped and you're going to an emergency event, a disaster event, and you're stopped by the local authorities, law enforcement, I mean, you can show them your license and say, I am here at the behest of my local areas group. See, I'm FCC certified as a communicator. So your license is very important. They don't know too much about that, but it may be all it takes to get you through. High-frequency communications. You know, we don't stop and think about this too much when it comes to a hurricane. In Cuba, we found that when the hurricane knocked out most of the local VHF communications, repeater sites and what have you, we started receiving a lot of messaging via high frequency. The locals had a 100-watt transceiver, And that was the only way to get information out of the island and the other islands in the Caribbean. VHF, UHF was good locally, but it didn't help with the distance. So consider high-frequency transceiver as a definite option for emergency communications. Any radio should work, but I want to emphasize weight. You're not going to carry your desktop radio that weighs 55 pounds out into the field. Something light and portable certainly is the way to go, and there are a lot of 100-watt radios out there that fit that bill. Make sure they're all powered by 12 volts. Certainly, if you have AC power, you can plug your power supply into it, and that provides 12 volts, and you're good to go. If you lose power, 12 volts running off the battery definitely will keep you on the air. A tuner, always very helpful. Your antenna may be very simple. Most likely a wire antenna, maybe cut for 40 or 20 meters. A tuner will certainly work its magic to keep you on the air, either band, and maybe even stretch the range a little bit. Digital interfaces, a very definite option to have, keep you on the air. Sending PSK or some other digital modes, long list, what have you. A long list of pharmaceuticals are oftentimes known to be transmitted. Make sure you bring your software. I keep all my manuals and everything on a thumb drive. Makes it easy, especially if you've got a little portable laptop, and you can have everything at your disposal. If you're a technician, people wonder, should I upgrade or is it okay? If you got a tech license, you're good to go. You can operate in your local areas groups, your license for it, VHF, UHF. That's where you do most of your communications work. Now, technician licensees do have a limit on the frequency range that you can operate on 80, 40, 15 meters, power output also. But there is a petition before the FCC, so we're going to see how that plays out, whether they will be able to allow expansion of technician operations on 75, 40, and 15. You may definitely benefit. But if you're a technician and you have a desire to upgrade because you do want to become much more effective on the high-frequency bands and be able to help pass traffic during a disaster, by all means, we encourage you to do so.
You're listening to some recommendations as to what you should have in your ham radio toolbox, as voiced by Ken Bailey, K1FUG, ARRL Emergency Preparedness Assistant and Continuing Education Program Administrator. We'll return to Ken's 2018 Hamvention Talk in a moment. This is The Rain Report.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Emergency power. You'll see a lot of articles in QST and CQ magazine. Battery operation, generators, pros and cons. Solar power has become much more popular. Wind power, even in certain areas. Windmills they used to have for pumping water out of the ground being converted to generate electricity. Definitely an interesting way to go. I see a lot of rooftops in New England and elsewhere, where they're putting solar panels up on the roof. They're generating electricity to help with their domestic use. If you can do so, great. I've read reports, however, that they do generate some noise. So if you're operating high frequency and you decide to go the solar power route, you may want to keep that in mind. Operating high frequency communications, once you get going, something to be learned if you've never done it before. If you've spent all your ham radio career just operating VHF, UHF, you will find that high frequency offers other kinds of challenges. If you do operate a high frequency, make sure that it's at least 100 watts from your transmitter, transceiver. Make sure you can be heard. Get on the air. Be active. Talk with other hams. Join contests. Nets are just rag chewing. If you know your equipment works, now at your home and you take it out in the field and it works, you could be pretty much safe to believe that it's going to work in time and means. An active ham means that you've participated in a lot of activities and you develop some skills. It also helps you understand a little bit about propagation. If you want to operate 80 meters at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and nobody is coming back to you, you need to understand that that's not the best band to choose during that time of day. But 80 meters at night, after the sun goes down, is a great band. So learning about propagation only comes with skills learned from participating. Wire antennas, I can't stress just how good they are. I don't have a beam at home. I've always used wire antennas of one sort or another. I'm not really a DXer or a contester, but I do both. I have 240 countries confirmed just using wire antennas. So they do work, and they do work well. I might emphasize that it's easy to make. If you've never designed or built anything in amateur radio, an antenna might be the first thing to do. A wire antenna. You can easily make one. You can use the formula that's there, 468 divided by the frequency in megahertz. Or you could go to the website westmountainradio.com. You can find their antenna calculator. And you can just plug in the frequency that you want your antenna centered on, and it will tell you exactly how long to measure to cut. It's easy. It works. They've taken all the work away from it. And you can have the fun with just cutting the wires and putting them up, then testing the antenna, see how well it works. Power and gain is oftentimes good, but 100 watts, you can work the world. Most of your emergency communications on high frequency are going to take place locally. Like VHF communications, it's going to be within 30 to 300 miles. The lower end, 30, 50 miles for VHF high frequency, you're going to get out to about 300 miles or greater. For this kind of range, you want to use an NVIS, a near vertical incident sky wave antenna, NVIS. You make a wire antenna just like you would ordinarily. You put it up between a couple of trees. The height off the ground is only about 10 feet or so. You're going to use the earth as a reflector. The signal is going to go almost straight up or at a slight angle, and you're going to find that your signal is going to be heard within the range of those other hands who are involved in your communications efforts. Again, easy to make, and keep in mind NVIS. You'll read more about it in other publications. They work extremely well. So when you get started, this is what you want to be thinking about. I heard this phrase, I don't know who the author is, but it goes like this. Preparedness is about training. Training is about repetition. Being ready is about believing it can happen and taking steps needed to act properly when things go bad. This is what training is all about. When you are in your local areas groups, whether you're joining one that's been active for a while or you're just starting one yourself because there is none in your community, consider training, how important it is. And with training comes practice, repetitive practice. Because sooner or later, something will occur where you're going to need your radio communicating skills. And that's why we train. How can we prepare? Well, field day. Take your equipment outside in the field. Whatever equipment you want to set up for a station, bring it out, set it up. Obviously, you're going to need a battery power or a generator. It's going to run on 12 volts. And communicate. Don't use field day as the only time you take your equipment out. With the availability of some very lightweight, backpacking weight type of equipment, you can go out anytime. Go out to a public park. Go on a hike to a mountaintop. Bring your equipment. Batteries are easily available, whether it's voice, phone, or CW. If you don't know CW, There are a lot of folks out there that will be very patient to work with you so that you can send a single NCW, get the practice. And, of course, CW does work much better with lower power out in the field especially. Skywarn Recognition Day every year in December. I think it's the first weekend in December every year. This is where you will work with your National Weather Service to join with them. You could even go to their location with pre-arrangements, set up an amateur radio station, and try to work other National Weather Service offices around the country. This past year, using W1AW as the call, we had quite the reception. W1AW and Maxim Memorial Station became a bonus station for all those participating. It was a fun time. If you happen to be around, certainly Google Skywarn Recognition Day as the year approaches, December, and get the information. And whether you're at home or at a National Weather Service office with the folks there, join in.
And that concludes our second and final excerpt from a 2018 Dayton Hamvention Forum talk given by Ken Bailey, K1FUG, ARRL Emergency Preparedness Assistant and Continuing Education Program Administrator. If you missed our first excerpt from his Toolbox audio presentation, you'll find it on the archive page on therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2018 Rain. All rights reserved. This hamcast typically updates Saturday morning on therainreport.com and Saturday evenings on WTWW, a Lebanon, Tennessee shortwave station on 5.085 kHz around 9 p.m. Central Daylight Time following the amateur radio newsline. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Keep on hamming!